Okay. Okay. Now, again, the title was Blood, Red Ironies of God, subtitle Civil War, Black Freedom, and the Dialectics of Transformation. Okay. Now, I mean, what are ironies? What's the irony?
I don't really know how to put irony into words, really, because it's kind of like, if you, thinking about something, and then it's like, I don't know really how to put it into words, really.
I don't think it's the same in every sense, but I think in this sense of the word, yeah, it would be contradiction, but in other senses, in other senses, it could be like a coincidence or et cetera.
Right, so like, I guess that's like how I said, almost like contradiction and coincidence in one word, almost how it's interesting and coincidental. Funny how somebody might say it's funny how, you know, this happened and this happened, but like coincidental and like interesting that something happened or the way that something happened or the way that something is contradicts something else that's related to that.
Exactly, and I think how I think of it sometimes is like two conflicting points that kind of meet in some like similarity or something, so something like that.
Great. So the blood red irony is God. Let me just read a little bit here. Okay, this is on page 219. Okay, so again, we're gonna use this often from time to time, and not the only one, but certainly this is also a book I want you to have in your library for historical or historical reasons. He starts with the quote by David Walker here at the top. Okay, although the destruction of the oppressors, God may not affect by the oppressed, yet the Lord of our God will surely bring destructions upon them. For not infrequently will he cause them to rise up against one another, to be split and divided, and to oppress each other, and sometimes to open hostilities with sword and hand. Now, David Walker wrote this in 1829 in his book called David Walker's Appeals. That's also another name. If you don't know David Walker, please put it there and put in David Walker's Appeals, okay? That's just for another historical reference. He certainly was a writer as well. So that was quoted in 1829 from David Walker. Now, the next beginning paragraph, on certain stark and bloody levels, a terrible irony seemed to be at work. For those who interpret the events of their own times through the wisdom and anguish of the past, the guns of Charleston certainly sounded like the signal for the fulfillment of David Walker's radical prophecies. Here at last was the coming of the righteous God in judgment, preparing to bring destruction upon America. Here was the divine culmination of the struggle toward freedom and justice long waged by the oppressed black people. From such a vantage point, the conflict now bursting out was the ultimate justification of the costly freedom movement, a welcome vindication in the trust of Providence. Providence in capital P meaning God, okay? And yet the war was not simply an ally. Like all wars, it brought with it a train of demoralizing, destructive elements, deeply affecting even those persons and causes which seemed to be its chief beneficiaries. In the case of black people, the guns broke in upon their freedom struggle at many levels, diverted and diffused certain of its significant radical elements, and became a source of profound confusion and disarray among its most committed forces. This was especially the case where independent radical black struggle for justice and self-determination was concerned. Okay, now, you know, do you see imagery? Tell me about what this person, when you read our story through the words of Vincent Harding, you rarely learn a lot about how to write in ways that give you factual information, also give you a sense of imagery. He's an historical writer, okay? He, in the first part of this, he gives you David Walker saying that even if we can't destroy them, that our God, okay, not theirs, will surely bring destruction upon them. And he says, for not infrequently, he will cause them to rise up against one another, be split and divided, and to oppress each other, and sometimes to open hostilities with sword in hand. This is what David Walker predicted in 1829, okay, in his writing. And so now here it comes in 1861, with the beginning of the Civil War, okay, that is, the guns of Charleston certainly sounded like a signal for the fulfillment of David Walker's radical prophecies. Now, he could have said, well, the Civil War started with the firing in Charleston, South Carolina, firing on a Fort Sumter by the whatever. But he then places this whole event of the guns of Charleston within the context of David Walker's radical prophecy, okay, that white people would start to fight among themselves. He's giving you a sense of how do you read this from the inside out, and of course is almost singing to you there. All right, so let me just back off and see what your response is to that. We're not going to read more of that, but do you see why I want you to have this as a resource?
You made a statement from reading from the quotation that you said, if we cannot destroy them, I didn't get to hear the rest of that because my sound went choppy. Could you please repeat that part?
Everything I heard was really, really choppy. My computer keeps on kind of going in and out. I'm on a wireless card, so that might be why. But from what I heard, he's a really good writer. I didn't really, it was kind of hard to understand, but I liked his visuals, like putting there like a train of demoralizing and something. But that's pretty much all I heard.
Yeah, I heard quite a bit of it, and into the type of writing, I kind of felt like it was like a metaphorical fact. You know, he was like presenting facts in metaphorical ways with the imagery and everything. So I thought that was really cool because it's keeping you interested. It's not just boring, you know, boring.
That's right. There is a river by Vincent Harding. Okay, and of course you missed it. I'll read what David Walker said. Although the destruction of the oppressors, God may not effect by the oppressed, yet the Lord our God will surely bring other destructions upon them. For not infrequently he will cause them to rise up against one another, to be split and divided, and to oppress each other, and sometimes to open hostilities with sword in hand. Now, you know, my favorite thing is that people think that because we are living in the 21st century that we are inherently more intelligent than folks who lived in 1829. I hope y'all don't go for that. Okay? I hope you don't go for that. Okay? This is someone who never went to college, my brothers and sisters. This is somebody who taught himself, all right? He was born in 1813 in Wilmington, North Carolina. His mother was free. His father was African in captivity. So he took the status of his mother. This is David Walker, okay? And so he began to write, and he became a writer for Freedmen's Journal. And he pushed out black people out. And his book is David Walker's Appeals to the Colored Citizens of the World, especially to these of those United States. All right. Vincent Harding was quoting him there. Then Vincent Harding goes on certain stark and bloody levels, a terrible irony seemed to be at work. That's his first sentence, okay? So does it capture your attention? I mean, the title doesn't, you know, the blood red ironies of God. Like, oh, wow, okay? You know? For those who interpret the events of their own time through the wisdom and anguish of the past, okay, the guns of Charleston certainly sounded like the signal for the fulfillment. Okay, and for those who was looking at these events through the wisdom and the anguish of the past, of our captivity, all right? And the guns of Charles Johnson, okay, sounded like. So he's saying what he must have sounded like. So he's putting himself into the position. I'm thinking of Isaac Clarke when you said, you know, with Ross B. Myers, he has you identify with the characters. Well, Vincent Harding is identifying with the people at the time, saying, wow, if you were there at the time and you were and to interpret this firing of on Fort Sumter at Charleston, which signaled the beginning, the official beginning of the Civil War, then that must have been the fulfillment of David Wilson's prophecy that they would start fighting among themselves. Okay? Because if you're a black person, you're hoping that they do something like this. You're hoping that God and his providence and her providence, bam, begin to, you know, have to take care of some business and do some stuff to help you out. Okay. So he sets it in that context. So now, one part is the metaphor. The other part is where he sits himself as a writer. Okay? Now, this is important because I want you to know how to do that, even when you're reporting events and even when you're doing historical writing. Okay. Often, historical writers don't give themselves permission to into the characters and to help the writers get into the characters the way that a fiction writer does, okay? And so we're going to study him as a writer, as well as you need to read the book, because when you read our story through There is a River, incidentally, There is a River is a theme running through us this year, so Kyle JoJo's storytelling is about a river, and Masiki Scottsdale's music is about a river, and we're going to keep with the river. Alright. Now, I want you to expand your reading to begin to see how we can report things, okay? And you all will be expected to write a weekly column and post it on under Student Voices, and there will be different kinds of writing, okay, but we want you to start publishing. Well, we'll get to some of that, okay, as you play with different kinds of writing. Now, you also, some of you talked about long papers, okay. We'll see. Not necessarily. It could be a series, for example, that you report on, based on the different kinds of writing you're going to be doing. Some of it might be creative, some of it may be short story, some of it may be hearer's information, based on the research that you're doing and continuing to do. Okay? In the 15 minutes we have left, or at least 5 minutes of them, let's talk about, your research and writing. Before we do that, would you tell me what is a problem that our community faces that you would like for us to solve, that you would like for us no longer to have? Okay, what's a problem that our community faces? Our African people, an African diasporan community, or African, Cincinnati community, a Philadelphia community. It can be broad or it can be short. I mean, less broad, more focused. What's, in our community, we're talking about the African community, okay? I mean, it may also be shared. Other people may have a similar problem, but I'm not talking about theirs. What's good? It can be a health problem. It can be a social problem. It could be physical problems. It could be a military problem or whatever. It bugs you, okay? Say more, Kashi. What do you mean by that? Not having good communication. Be more specific, please.
In terms of communication, I mean, like, if you have a problem with somebody, it's not really solved because you weren't able to talk about it or there was no communication, like, between you and the person, and that caused the problem. So you're not talking to each other and there's no communication between you and the person, and it's like things can be said about a certain person and then the communication is off because you're not talking at all.
Okay, I'm just looking over what you've typed. Very good. is that police brutality and separatism, Ivy Carl? What do you mean separatism? I got police brutality. What's the separatism part? Give me an example, Ivy Carl, so that I'm real clear.
Like economical separatism, not sharing with another government. How communities you may have violence in that community and future communities right next to it, because the two communities aren't helping each other in their respective weaknesses. Like one community might have a better economical standpoint, and one other community might have a better workforce, and then that combined together become one great community.
Okay. A great research paper begins with a great question. You know, nothing is as, and I won't say nothing, but it's excruciating to have to write a research paper on something that you absolutely have no interest in at all. Although you will have to get to some of that, but yeah, you know, it's really hard, particularly to learn about writing a research paper when you're having to write stuff. When I was a senior in high school, I had a research paper. A white racist teacher was known in the school, and she was my teacher. The only thing that she said positive all year about black people that she thought was positive is that black people sure knew their Bible. So when they got to the part of literature that where the Bible was covered, believe it or not, then she would make a positive statement about black people. Other than that, there were no positive statements about black people ever in class. Okay? And her attitude toward black people and black students was negative. I had a research paper on Jacobean drama. Jacobean drama. So I had to learn how to do research by dealing with a topic that I don't even know what was and had no interest in whatsoever. It's safe to say that I didn't do a whole lot of learning about research. Jacobean drama. Jacobean. Let me see. I think I can still remember. I haven't looked it up since then. I ask you that because as you focus on the research paper to do. We'll get to that. I want you to be thinking about something that really, you know, is a real problem. And being clear about that and having the process of doing research so that you really can illuminate what you think the problems are and why and all of that. And that can be really a lot of fun if you're really learning more and more about it and your paper goes deeper. And then the production of your paper then can be presented to the community, and it's something that the community is proud of and that they learn from. Okay? It's like, wow, I didn't know that, or I didn't know it like that, or I hadn't thought of it in that way, or I didn't know these things were connected like that. And then you can be proud. I have one and out of tune steel piano. Tell me what you're talking about. I have one and out of tune piano. Help me out.
Well, I was trying to copy and paste this Jacobean era that I got from a link, but for some reason my copy and paste was I'm going to try to copy and paste it one more time.
Okay, great. All right, that helps. Okay. I'm going to give you a link that will be one of our guides, not the only one, okay, in terms of writing research papers. Okay? Now, in the other class, you know, and all of you are in the comparative government, and you have to do a 20-page paper there comparing those. Great, Isaac. And this one, thank you. You know, of course, part of writing a paper is, but you notice I'm not wanting to focus so quickly on the technical pieces, okay? I really want to focus where it really starts, and that's on a question. And when I learned from that in high school, I got to that temper, but however, I have no idea what I said, okay? It's like I got through it, okay? But it didn't reach me in any way. I haven't gone back to the subject or dealt with it more, okay? I don't know what I made. I probably made a B or C or something like that, but it didn't mean anything. When I got to college and I was taking advanced expository writing, my first paper was Step and Fetch It 1. My second paper was Step and Fetch It 2. What I was observing, what was going on, and how black people on college campus was doing things that reminded me of Step and Fetch It, even though we were doing it in the here and now, in those modern times. And Step and Fetch It is a character, a demeaning character that was portrayed like on Amos and Andy and the racist movies of the 50s and the 60s. And the character was Step and Fetch It. That is, if I say boy and, you know, whatever, you're supposed to go and get it, Step and Fetch It. And so, I was writing a critique of our people that I saw, my fellow students, who to me were acting like Step and Fetch It. And so the white teacher of this class, who was supposed to teach me different writing styles, how do you write a descriptive style, how do you write an expository style, and different styles, is what he was the goal of the course. And so he was concerned, because by the time I got to the third paper, or the fourth paper, they all were about black people. He came in, he asked me to come to his office, and he said, Rukisa, I'm concerned that you are writing all your subjects that you're reading about black people. And so, what do you think he said? What do you think my response was?
He probably said, duh.
Okay, done, man, you got it. Okay, so, and then he said, yes, but my concern is that you won't, Isaac Carr and Sophie and all of those of you who can, and you won't always be able to write about you people. And I'm concerned that, you know, in your career and in your life, when you're called upon to write about things that you're not familiar with or that you don't like, then you will not be able to write as well because you're writing only about your people. All right, so y'all respond to that. I'm Dean Professor. Y'all respond to that challenge.
Well, I would say that, that I wouldn't always be able to write about that. Well, there should be even more of a reason for me to take this opportunity now that I can write about it to do that, especially since I'm learning about the writing style. Who I'm talking about in the writing style will not necessarily be different. So if I'm going to spend my life writing about people who don't mean anything to me while I actually have an option, I would do that.
All right, I got Isaac Carr's response. I got Sophie's response. Come on, give me a quick ball, quick. We only got 3 minutes. My concern is, you know, students, that, you know, you won't always be able to write about your people. You have to write on subjects that are just far afield, and I'm afraid that you will not be able to write, and your true genius won't be able to be expressed because you only are writing about your people. Okay, all right. What I said is, which is why I'm going through this and the design of the course is this way. I said, isn't the purpose of this course to teach me writing style and how to write better those various styles, the conventions of writing, so that I can write in different styles and be more effective? And he said, yes, it is. Okay. And I said, well, wouldn't you agree that I can concentrate on learning the writing style better if I choose a subject that I'm interested in and familiar with? And of course, he had to say, yes. Yes, I don't know why you get, but anyway, we're going to be irrelevant here. He said, yes, but you won't always be able to write on things that you're familiar with. And my response is, yes, and that's why I will then use the skills that I learned in my research class, because if I now have the skills down, I know I can write in different ways, then I will research the topic and become familiar with it, and then I will be able to have my genius show in that way. And so, he left me alone, and I made A class, because I won't back off of it. And I didn't have all that together before I walked in there. I just knew that I was going to keep writing about my people, okay? Now, his concern is appropriate, okay? He's also racist, although he mildly so, in the sense of he wasn't the, it wasn't the Klan kind of racist. It's the liberal kind of racist. But the point is, here, as you're working on a research paper, and I want you to choose subjects that you are interested in, so that you will not, that interest can help guide you, okay? Yeah, right. Oh, don't you get me going on, you know, which is worse and all that stuff like that. The point is that you have to look out for yourself in those ways. Now, you don't have to do that at I Education Institute. We look out for you in that. I want you to know that, because you're not always at IA, and I want you to know how to translate and have the importance of what we do, so that you know how to translate that to other people. Now, that being said, how many of you have Vincent Harding's There Is a River? Or can you get it quickly? Yep, I'm out of here. Tequila, thanks a lot. Okay, well, let me just tell you what I want you to do. Since this is a writing class and this is a grammar class, I want you to write me a... your first paper is due, and this is a paper reporting about your history of the summer, okay? This is, I want you to report about this summer. What has this summer been to you? What did you do? Okay? So it's a historical writing. If you can read Vincent Harding, take any chapter, any area, and see if you can learn something from his writing style. I'd like for you to have some subsections so that you get to play with doing some headings. So, and this paper needs to be about a five-page paper about the summer and you and the summer. Okay. That is due on on Monday night. Do not be getting it to me on no Monday or Tuesday morning when it's here, okay? Well, great. Then you will do a lot of introspection, okay? And it's really important. You don't have to, you know, do a lot. You lived, and so if you lived, then things happened to you and whatever, okay? Five-page minimum, introduction, body, and conclusion. Subsections with titles to your different subsections. All right? And please get Vincent Harding, There Was a River. Please get Writing with Power by Peter Elbow. Okay? What kind of essay would this be, y'all? Ife is saying, what kind of essay is this? If I'm saying, write an essay about your summer. Very good. It's a narrative essay. Very good, Sophia. Okay. A narrative essay about your summer. Subsections, minimum 5 pages. Okay. You can have characters, you know, and you can use what you like from those different writers. And you can begin to read some There Is a River. And it's not how much you're reading. I just want you to be getting into your style, so we'll focus on some of that. All right? Okay, folks. Have that for me Monday and send it to me. Y'all are leaders in the school, and I expect your work to shine. I'll give you more details on the writing and on the weekly writing and that kind of thing like that. Love you. I appreciate you. Let's end with appreciations, and we're out. If not through email, we can do it in the next class, I suppose. In fact, I probably will see you this weekend. Hope to.
I appreciate everyone for class. I especially appreciate Bob Wilchester for teaching us this class. And, yeah, that's it. I'll see y'all after lunch.
I appreciate everybody. This was a good class. I appreciate, you know, learning about Vincent Harding's work and David Walker. And I appreciate Bob Wilchester. We'll see you this weekend. And I'll see everybody after lunch.
I appreciate everybody's their input and their output. I'd like to thank teachers for showing us all this new information that we didn't know about. And thank you.
I appreciate everyone for participating today. I appreciate Bowelcast for teaching us. And it was a good class. I'm excited. And I appreciate learning about David Walker and Vincent Harding. And I'll see you after lunch.
I appreciate everyone for coming to class, for participating. This was a very exciting and lively class. I'm really excited about this class. I almost feel like I'm in college or something. Anyway, I had a lot of fun, and I appreciate everyone's willingness to learn, and especially Bob Wilchester for teaching and giving us your energy, although Harding and David Walker were exciting, and I appreciate them as well. And I'll see y'all, I won't see y'all until Mommy Pinday class, so
hi, everyone, for coming to class today. I appreciate Bob Wilchester for teaching, and I'll see you guys afterwards.
I appreciate everybody with their participation in class today, and I appreciate Bob Wilchester teaching us this class and us learning about the different writing styles and how we can use that in our own writing and how we can use the writing from the object that we read to put in our own writing also.
She wasn't supposed to tell that you were in college. All right, folks, y'all take it. Have a good lunch.
Does anybody know where we're going for the next class? And it's we're having Central Society Day. I'm about to look at the schedule to see, but I don't know which one I'm looking at.
I'm on the schedule today, French and Swahili. So I would best go to work because that's where y'all do it, so I'm not sure which one it is. Actually, the schedule said Guardian and cluster presentation, so I'm not sure what we're supposed to do. Hey, maybe we get a study hall. See?